You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. I am not Jake Watson, pretty obviously. Jake will be joining us shortly. He's away doing something really exciting this weekend, and he'll be on to update us with his trials and tribulations of that. But as ever, I am joined by Ric Flair and Jordan Halford. And I'm also, we've got a very special guest today. So we're joined by Graham Smith, who is the co-founder and co-chair of Foxes Pride too. So I'll start with you, Graham. How are you? How's your weekend been?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a nice weekend, apart from the second half yesterday, I think. Nice weekend. Got lots of stuff with friends. Had the football versus homophobia fixture yesterday, which was great. And so everything good apart from the football.
Good. Yeah, there's a real theme on this podcast that everything is always great apart from the football. But I do want to speak to you about the fixture yesterday and the football versus homophobia and get your take on that. So thank you very much for joining us. Jordan, I saw you yesterday and I know you've had a decent win this morning on your Sunday league game. So I'm guessing you're not too bad.
Yeah, that's perked me up a little bit because we got to our second quarter final of the season. Yesterday, I think when I saw you, Jack, I was a bit annoyed, but slept on it a little bit, and not as angry as I was yesterday. But I got to see one of my Arsenal supporting friends in the pub after the game as well, so a good little catch up with him. Didn't feel great this morning, I have to say. When I woke up, first 10 minutes from me were a bit ropey, but I was all right after that, I think.
good to hear. And I'm Rick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, Jack. Football was obviously, well, I'm still grappling in my mind on what to make of yesterday, because we've played a lot worse this season, haven't we, and been thraped in games. But as far as going forward yesterday, I think our XG, which has broken a record of 0.01, I actually think you could have probably got more if we hadn't actually played. I think there'd probably been a mathematical possibility of an own goal not playing against anyone than what we did yesterday. But it was baffling game plan, but I'm sure we'll come on to that. And hopefully we get a reaction in the week and at the weekend, because they're probably not bigger games, but they're all big games now. But yeah, there's no hiding places now. We've got the tough ones out of the way.
Yeah, we have got the tough ones out of the way. Speaking of which, when you say it would have been better had they not had anyone play against them, have you ever heard Peter Crouch's story where they line up in training doing shape against no one and they were 1-0 down after 5 minutes? But speaking of that, I'm not the world's biggest fan of XG, but it does tell a story about the game. And whilst defensively we were all right, to say we didn't offer a lot going forward, it's possibly an understatement. But I just wanted to I've seen the reaction on social media, and as ever, Leicester fans have taken defeat really, really well, as we have as well. But I just wanted to get your take on the game itself and what you thought. And Graham, I'll start with you.
Okay, so, well, I always get in trouble with my friends because I'm always like glass half full and over positive and things like that. And I'm still very happy to be Brendan in. But I think for me, it's like, if you said at the start of the game, it'd be 1-0 to Arsenal and we'd defend pretty solidly, which we did, and they had one shot, which they scored with, you'd probably take that. I think the issue, of course, is the fact that there was absolutely nothing going the other way. And so I think Rick was right. It's that kind of that was the frustration, wasn't it? You've got we did defend well. You know, there was some times when I was thinking, oh, please don't pass it there, please don't pass it there. But they still got it out. The balls out weren't terrible. It just was no one at the end of them. And it felt a bit to me like the Man City game, in the sense that you got the sense we were going to try and get to 70 minutes, and then he put Vardy on, he put Tielemans on, and you kind of had the idea that he was going to start going for it, but it just didn't click after that at all, did it? So yeah, it was frustrating to watch, but like you said, it's been a lot worse this season than that, and actually we've defended a lot worse than that. And yeah, I think it, like you've also said, the focus this week has to be on Tuesday night and next Saturday. Because if we win on Tuesday night and we win next Saturday, suddenly everybody's happy again. So for me, I'm not at the point of wanting to kind of finish things off. I went downstairs at half time and somebody was like having like kind of minor heart attack over how badly we were playing. And I was like, we're 0-0 against Arsenal. We're not playing that badly.
That Rick? It wasn't Rick, was it?
No, it was. I don't know how short you are, but it was quite a short person. We
Hodder and left.
Hair than you.
Odd walks out. I was fuming.
It was quite a short person with a bit less hair. So, yeah. But yeah, it was just. I think sometimes Leicester fans, we go. I'm sure the fans of all clubs are the same, but we seem to go from extreme to extreme. When it's good, it's the best thing it's ever been. When it's terrible, it's the, you know, it's the worst possible thing that could be happening. And I'm like, there is more to life than football, isn't there?
Yeah, apparently. I've not found it yet. but yeah, I think I've reflected on the game myself and thought it's difficult for us to get the balance right at the moment, because we're either very, very good going forward and we concede a load of goals, or we go really cagey and defensive and then don't score a lot of goals. And I think that's what Rodgers is struggling with. Jordan, I know you were pretty frustrated after the game yesterday. You say you've calmed down a little bit, but I'd be interested to get your take on where you're at with it at the moment, because you were going for it after the game, which was good to see.
Yeah, I think yesterday I described it as the worst performance of the season, which, given we've been battered 6-2 and 5-2, was probably maybe a bit harsh. But the thing that really frustrated me, and Graham said frustrating is, and I think that's the right word, but we didn't show any ambition whatsoever. And for me, that was a free hit yesterday. I'd watched Villa play Arsenal the week before and gave them all sorts of trouble and probably should have got a point out of that game. And I don't really understand what the game plan was. I mean, obviously, they're top of the league, but they've had a little bit of a wobble recently. And we just sat off them and gave them so much respect. I think that's got to be the easiest 3 points they've had all season. That said, yeah, we did defend fairly solidly. They didn't create too many chances. I do think the first goal they scored wasn't a foul. On Danny Ward, I didn't think it was a foul in real time. Seeing it back on Match of the Day, and I didn't think it was a foul. I know he's holding Ward's arm, but I still thought it was a fairly soft free kick. And you know, 0.01 XG, I think that's right. I think that's generous. I can't remember Ramsdale touching the ball. But look, you know, like Graham rightfully said, Tuesday, you know, I'm not saying it's a bigger game, but it's a game that if we win, we're in the quarter final of the cup. And if we beat Southampton, this week will be forgotten. So just the main frustration for me was we just didn't take it to Arsenal. And like I said, I thought it was a bit of a free hit and we didn't have anything to lose. But, you know, when Madison's not in the squad, you see the difference. Obviously, against Tottenham, we were probably the best we've been all season. And then Madison's not in the side. Yuri's on the bench. And Brendan brings Tete off, which baffled me a little bit as well. But not on to Tuesday. That's a massive game. We win on Tuesday and we're one win away from Wembley. So we move on.
Indeed we do. Rick, your take on the game?
Like what Graham and Jordan have said, and you've said as well, Jack, I just found the game plan to be a bit odd because Rodgers has got many qualities and he's got many weaknesses as well. But one thing that I think in the last 4 years we can be quite certain on is he cannot play defensive football very well. We aren't a team that wins 1-0. We aren't a team that draw 0-0. Yet that was what it was set up to do. We've not kept a clean sheet against one of the perceived big six since about 2020, I think. I'm sure it was Spurs 2-0, December 2020. So I don't know what they were trying to achieve yesterday because we were always going to concede at least once. It's like going into the toilet needing a pony with no bog roll, having one, and they're saying there's no bog roll. You know, we were always going to concede, and yet we didn't have one single shot on target. We had one shot, didn't we, I think, and there was that one sort of Barnes flashed it across, and I thought Tete should have perhaps got on the end of it, which may have actually been a goal. But, you know, it was we've looked naff going forward at times. Our call teams do, and, you know, usually we don't. That's the least of our worries. But it was as there was just nothing. Even when we got on the break, you know, Iheanacho would be on it, and, you know, his first touch yesterday was abysmal again after a few performances where it was looking a lot tidier. And then it just all broke down. Arsenal were defending in such massive numbers that you just couldn't do anything. I don't know whether that was us or they're just, you know, they're so good at moving around the pitch and nullifying it. It's frustrating. But we did defend better. Suter had a good game. I was raving about him at half time. And then obviously a minute later into the second half, he sadly, I mean, it wasn't. I don't think he did a lot wrong to get turned and nutmegged. Castagna played a clearance stroke pass that you'd like to think he could have done a bit better with. And because he did that, he was then a bit out of position. And Soutar didn't really have a lot to be able to protect himself with. And he got turned. And I mean, Danny Ward yesterday. It's like he trying to eat soup with a knife and fork with him in goal. You are on the back foot always. I don't know with him. You can't.
What did he actually do wrong yesterday?
Okay. First and foremost, as Jordan says, it was a foul, but I prefer.
I called that. I mean, I'm 60 yards away. I called that. You've got the WhatsApp messages to prove it. I did call that and said it was a foul. Yeah. I then watched it back and was like, I'm not sure that was a foul.
Yeah, I just think after that, he didn't check where he was in the goal. He was standing, it was like he was marking the post because otherwise he would have saved that from Trossard because it wasn't top corner, was it? It was just like put into the net. Then he had a calamitous moment, was it with Fass? Again, it was nearly a Castagna from against Spurs where he'd come out but not really said anything. And then thankfully Fass cleared it. But I don't know. He didn't do a lot wrong. But as I say, there's just no confidence there. I think everyone's on eggshells with him. I'm at the end of my tether with him. How Iverson can't get a little gig in the Premier League just to see. He can't be any worse. And I keep coming back to we had 20 million spare to spend on Jack Harrison that we didn't. Why didn't we try and get a goalkeeper? Albon Lafont from Nantes was supposedly available for 15, 20 million. He's their captain. He's brilliant. But instead, we got that prattling goal. I'm done with him.
I think I agree with you about Ward now. Ward just doesn't seem to make any saves. I think he's a bit like watching a Sunday league keeper, you know, when you've got an actual goalkeeper playing. It feels a bit like you've got someone in that can catch it and kick it, but won't do anything else. So you're like, oh, he's fine. Like he can play in net. And I know that sounds a bit harsh, but we are over halfway through the season and I'm kind of going now. He's not good enough and we definitely need another another goalkeeper. I don't know whether Iverson's the answer. I've not been particularly impressed with him when he's played for us. I know he was player of the season at Preston. But it is, you know, I think Danny Ward was player of the season at Huddersfield as well. So I'm not sure that's necessarily the answer. And I was called out about three episodes into this podcast for saying Alex Smithies could be number one. So I think that would be a little bit far-fetched. But yeah, he doesn't do enough for me as keeper. And I think there was an article from Percy in the week about how Schmeichel departed and the impact that that's had, but it sounds like that was possibly a good thing for the whole morale of the squad, given that he wasn't a particularly popular captain, which was probably a bit of a surprise for some people to hear. But he certainly was a big character in the dressing room and a big part of our problems last year. So I don't really know what Brendan can do, because you drop your goalkeeper. I think that's a massive change and impact the team. Whether that's the right thing to do or not, I don't know, but he's clearly backing Ward and sticking with him. The only thing I would say with him, he's not made any glaring errors this season that I can remember. I'm sure someone will remind me if he has. I just don't think he's done anything particularly good. Like he made one save yesterday, which is half decent, but he just doesn't make a lot of saves. And maybe that's because we've been spoilt with Schmeichel for however many years, and he was a great shot stopper, but he just doesn't seem to do a lot for me. And yeah, it's definitely a position we need to look at in the summer. Graham, Jordan, what are your thoughts on that? I'll start with you, Graham.
I mean, I think it's hard. Schmeichel's a tough act to follow, isn't he? And that's got to be hard for him. I mean, for me, I think that the issue is sometimes that some of the positional play and things like that. So when the ball's coming in, is not quite where he needs to be. So while he may not have contributed to goals through his own kind of mistakes, it's whether or not he's got the confidence of people. I mean, we all remember that own goal against Liverpool, don't we? Where you get the vibe that the defence perhaps don't quite have the confidence in him, but when he called for it, but they didn't let him have it, or maybe he didn't call loud enough. I don't know. But so yeah, I think I think it's hard to lay. I think it's hard to lay the blame for Leicester's kind of form and league position at Danny Ward. I mean, there's so much other stuff that hasn't been right, and I get the vibe sometimes that Danny can be a bit of a scapegoat for people. Which I think is a bit unfair. You know, he is a good goalkeeper. You know, he is an international goalkeeper who puts in man of the match performances for his country. So he obviously can do it. But maybe he's a confidence player. And actually, during that run where we didn't concede like a goal for like seven games or something before the World Cup break, no one was talking about Danny Ward making mistakes then. So I think it's just. I think people need a scapegoat sometimes. So I think he's an average keeper, not a bad keeper, not a world beater. And so, yeah, I think we probably do need to strengthen. But I don't necessarily think we're at the end of the world with Danny Ward in goal.
I completely agree with a lot of that. I think, firstly, you know, replacing Schmeichel has probably been the best goalkeeper we've ever had. Again, it's like, you know, what we were saying with Vardy at the other end of the pitch, replacing him is difficult. And obviously, Daka's getting a lot of stick. But with Ward, I think I joked earlier in the season that he is sometimes like a cartoon. When he saves it, he ends up in the net with the ball. But he reminds me a bit of De Gea. When De Gea first came over for United, very similar build. Not the he doesn't seem to fill the shirt, if that makes sense. And as a keeper, even yesterday, the goal that got disallowed, I can't ever imagine Kasper. Well, I can't imagine Kasper coming off his line for a start, but
yeah.
I can't imagine Kasper would have been found in that manner, because it just felt so soft to me. But that said, I think he's a good shot stopper. His one-on-ones are a bit of a worry. He seems to make himself a bit smaller. which is not ideal. I think his kicking's half decent. He's not the worst shot stopper. He's a bit better from court, from coming out for crosses. And what have we played? 20 odd games. I think Ward would benefit from having another goalkeeper pushing him in training. It's very difficult for him as well. He's come from a number two for the majority of his career, and he's been thrust into playing, you know, for a top half Premier League side, replacing the best keeper we've ever had. So I think you're right, Graham. He's not, you know, I don't think he's necessarily a goalkeeper perhaps for where we want to be. But I also don't think he's a terrible keeper either. And, you know, I'm kind of willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't necessarily think the blame is at his door for some points that we've dropped. Interestingly, you mentioned about Wales. When I was out in the World Cup, when we played Wales, there was a Tottenham fan next to me, and he was kind of slating Danny Ward. And it does feel like he's become a bit of a scapegoat, and he's got this sort of reputation that's stuck to him now, just because of the start we had. And like you say, that run we went on when we kept four or five clean sheets on the bounce, and we had more of a settled back four, he looks a lot more confident. And, you know, 1 minute Fez is in and out the side, or Amati's in and out, and now Suter's signed, you know, Christensen signed. Hopefully we get a bit more of a consistent back four or five, including the keeper, and, you know, he can grow in stature a little bit.
Hopefully. That would be good. The reason I'm a little distracted is Jake's just joined us. And Jake, you'll be really pleased to know I've made you some intro music before you you tell us about what you've been
Tara
up to
be
this
happy
weekend.
If I got one of these. She thinks they're death traps.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, time for another Tara update.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Jake, what have you been up to this weekend?
Have I ever told you, lads, I do high rocks?
You may have mentioned it once or twice. We can. It's bounced much better than it did earlier. Can you hear and see us?
I can. So apologies if it doesn't sound great. I'm literally sat outside a bar in Vienna at the moment, and obviously half time of the Carabao Cup final. But yeah, I'm obviously not with you guys this weekend because I'm over here doing high rocks, which for people who don't know, it's like a fitness race, which I do quite a lot of, which obviously the lads hear quite a lot about. But yeah, I'm in Vienna at the moment. And before you ask me anything about the game, I haven't seen a single moment of the game from yesterday, but by all accounts, I don't think I missed much, did I?
No, you nothing. Didn't. You didn't no. miss much. We've currently spent 5 minutes talking about whether Danny Ward's a good number one or not, so we are really draining it, and we haven't had any egging stories yet. So, yeah. But on the subject of High Rock, so just so people do know what it is, it's a bit of running and a few star jumps, isn't it? And then you take your top off, and that's sort of it, really.
Yeah, first rule of High Rocks, you're not allowed to wear a top. That's the first rule. And the second one is you've got to tell everybody about it as well. But yeah, it's the World Series of Fitness Racing, and it's lots of running, lots of pulling sleds, pushing sleds, lunging, rowing, skiing, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Sounds painful. Well, you'd be delighted to know that we've managed to actually like stream the podcast, and I think it is recording.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's press record.
Yeah, I think so. Although I did go missing for a bit, so yeah, I've had more fun with like the intro music and stuff like that than anything else, to be honest. So yeah, but it seems to be going all right.
I have a question about the game as far as Leicester related goes. I say, you know, I must stress, I didn't see the game yesterday, but and honestly, I don't know if you've mentioned and spoken about him already, but Tete.
We haven't spoken about Tete yet. He was on my list, and we have actually had a question in on Twitter about Tete, right, which so, I think so, we should probably direct to Rick, really, because he is his ultimate fanboy. But dragged after 60 minutes. I think he had 20 touches in 60 minutes.
So we're four games in, aren't we? And he was magnificent in that first game. But with all due respect, I know the opposition have been Spurs, United and Arsenal, which, you know, should be factored into this. But he hasn't really done anything, has he, in the last three? He's gone from thinking we've got a superstar here and everyone taking Brazil flags to the King Power to now thinking, do you know what? I'm not as 100% convinced by him as I was a few weeks ago.
I'm very offended by that, Jake.
Sorry, mate.
I mean, what can you say? I thought last week against Man United, first half an hour, I thought he did look pretty good again. Those flashes of brilliance with Castagne got in down the right hand side a fair few times, and a bit of bad decision making with whether to shoot or sort of flash it across to Barnes. But yeah, his two home games, Spurs and yesterday against Arsenal, he was anonymous. I think that's probably the kindest thing we can say to him. I do think on some of that, it's not all on him. Now, am I being very, very lenient there when I've then just slated Danny Ward for sort of, you know, some things that are perhaps not fair? Maybe so. But, you know, I do feel like we're not yet in sync with getting the ball out to him as much as we are now with Barnes. Barnes is getting a hell of a lot more of the ball than he perhaps was.
I thought he played well, Barnsley, yesterday. I thought he was one of our better players.
Yeah, he certainly didn't. I don't think he was poor. And he did look like he had a bit more purpose on the ball and wasn't quite as sort of, stuck on what to do as perhaps he was a few weeks ago before Tete arrived. So I think the next few games will be telling on Tete. If he's still not delivering against the likes of Blackburn, if he plays Tuesday or Southampton, then maybe I will have to grovel to everyone that I've yet again gobbed off about a player and they're not as good as. But no, I'm still confident he'll be the bollocks.
Isn't it the case, though, that part of the reason that Barnes is getting more of the ball and that is because we've got Tete now? Because actually the opposition are slightly more wary of the right as well as the left, because before they were just shoving everything on Barnes because that was the only outlet. And now we've got two outlets. Right, maybe only one's working. But actually he's having an effect in that way. And the other new signing that's really helping Barnes is obviously Christiansen, who I thought had a really good game yesterday, both defensively and, even though there was no end product, getting the ball out of defence too.
I completely agree. I thought, Victor, I thought it was really interesting because Thomas has struggled against Saka the two times he's played against him. I didn't think he got kicked yesterday. And actually, at one point, he kicked Christiansen over. I think a couple of times, actually, you could see he was really annoying him. I think he's a terrific signing. I think Rick, another one you've got wrong. You said he was slow. He's lightning quick. So yeah, we won't have you for the next transfer segment. We've been in you for
I told you not to bother with me. Somehow I've then ended up as permanent residency on here. But some of my claims will be false.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. One thing I did want to talk about, and it really, really irritated me over the game, and it's not necessarily related to this game, but the time wasting in the last half an hour. The ball must have been in play about 4 minutes, and then they had on 5 minutes at the end of the game. And Arsenal were playing for it. I mean, Xhaka spent the entire second half falling over and claiming he'd been kicked. But I just think it's ridiculous now that the Newcastle are absolute masters at it. Fulham were appalling when they came to us.
Fulham were worse.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just as a product, it's shocking that referees aren't doing anything about it. I mean, 5 minutes in the end was an absolute joke. And that really, really pissed me off yesterday. That was what I was most angry about the game. I think the referee actually helped us in some instances, but it's just our inability to deal with the time wasting at the end of the game was just shocking. Any other thoughts on that?
I think it's a real problem in the game. You're seeing players now head away crosses and go down holding their head, and the referee is having to stop the game for a head injury, which is laughable. But again, it goes back to, you know, I had a little rant last week about the ref at Old Trafford, but they've never played the game, these refs. You can tell they've not even played at any level in amateur football. So, you know, these pros are so good at exploiting every little, in between the lines of the rules, or as the officials will have you reminded that they're laws, not rules. But in the FA Cup, they were obviously trialing this ridiculous 12-15 minutes time added on, which I don't like to see personally, and I can see why the Premier League have not brought it in since that. But it needs looking at in the summer, because it's becoming a real problem. And like you said, Newcastle and Fulham were terrible. I mean, Arsenal were at it yesterday.
And well, Jorginho, Rick's just said it. Jorginho got resurrected at 80 minutes, didn't he? I mean, he was unbelievable.
I mean, but unless referees are adding Jordan like 12 and 15 minutes, mate, players know they can get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So I think if referees start doing that, adding 10 minutes on, 11 minutes on, 12 minutes on, then teams like Newcastle will eventually realise it's absolutely pointless killing time because you just end up paying it anyway. The problem is at the moment, they know that they start wasting time from the moment they're leading the game, but they know they're never going to have to play the full added on time, which they're going to do. So unless refs actually start doing that, that's the only way around it. Because if players are going down, holding their head or whatever, there's no way ultimately a ref's going to know if he's injured or not. So he's got to blow up. The only way they can do it is by adding the time on. Eventually, you know, Eddie Howe will tell the players it's pointless because you're just going to play 15 minutes at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that cracks me up, it always happens. You get a goalkeeper booked at about the 89th minute for time wasting. Yeah. Well, if you book him after 15 minutes when they've scored, and we're losing 1-0, he doesn't do it again because he can't afford to get sent off. I'd go down that route personally, get the book out for time wasting.
Can I tell you what? They'll never add 12 minutes on in the Premier League. It ruins broadcasters' schedules. They're never going to do it, which is where they get all the money from. It's funny that it happened in the World Cup when you've got back-to-back scheduling and you've got wall-to-wall coverage. They can't do it on Sky, so they'll never let them do it.
Do you think part of the reason we're so salty about it is because Leicester is so bad at doing things like that? And we're so bad at like the kind of the dark arts.
We're terrible at it. And that's what, you know, it's so frustrating that we are such a nice team. And, you know, it's not just the time-wasting element. There's so many bits to it. I mean, I absolutely despise players like Bruno Fernandes. But at the same time, like, you know, they've got the referees wrapped around the little finger, haven't they? And you know, we've spoken, I know George spoke about it so many times, about the Argentinians and why he loves them and that housery that they have. You know, in some ways, that won them the World Cup. You know, and Leicester as a team, you know, whether we're losing games of football because we can't see out a game because we're kind of mentally and psychologically weak, or we haven't even got that kind of mentality within us to say it's the housery, that mentality to kind of do whatever is necessary to win a game of football. It's so frustrating because we are just too nice, but I don't know how you solve that.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, you look at that. That's a bit of a challenge last week on Fez.
Nobody appealed.
Nobody's even round the referee. Yeah,
nobody appealed. And Fez is rolling around on the floor. It's not like, nobody realised at the time it wasn't a foul. Fez has gone down, rolling around, holding his knee, and not a single Leicester player that goes to the referee. If they'd all surrounded him like they would have done, that would have been a red card. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, same.
Mm. Well, I was watching the League Cup final. The first 5 minutes, Dalot gets booked. 6 Newcastle players all round the referee. And I know they're like, everyone goes, they're a pain in the arse, but I do think it's what I hoped sort of Christiansen would bring to the side. And maybe he's a bit young. I was a little bit disappointed that indeed he was made captain yesterday because I just don't think he's a captain. I think there are other people in the side that could be. But yeah, I think it's my biggest criticism of Rodgers. He's sometimes trying to be too nice and too classy to everyone and be everyone's mate, and I just wish he'd just be a horrible bastard sometimes, which he just doesn't do. Rick,
you've just said exactly what I was going to say, mate. That I feel like it, you know, they're a caricature of Rodgers, who never loses his temper. Really, he's said a few choice words about diabolical refereeing performances, but still, he won't go to town on it. And I know in some ways, you can say, well, fair enough, because, you know, there's the likes of Klopp and a few other managers that really go the other way, and you're just like, shut up. But, you know, from time to time, you would just like Rodgers to just have that edge, and hopefully that rubs off on his players. Because, as you say, the likes of Christiansen, he looks like the sort of player who hates losing, will be more than happy to get, you know, do a little sly kick, or even though that would get you sent off, but, you know, do something that will just really start to turn the screw. And Rodgers needs to start asking them to do that a bit more.
Yeah, but Rick, that's a problem that we're seeing with Chelsea at the moment as well, with Graham Potter. You know, you talk about the managers and the players and the team being a reflection of the manager. Yeah. I've mentioned this before, but I remember saying it on BBC Leicester to Pipes, and he disagreed with me. I'm saying that Leicester are a reflection of the manager. You know, Brendan Rodgers, whether we start slow at halves of football, or, you know, the way we kind of carry ourselves on the football pitch, it's because he never gives them two barrels. You know, don't get me wrong, he clearly gets pissed off and says so, but it clearly doesn't resonate with the players. It clearly doesn't get a reaction out of the players. And you look at a Liverpool team, you look at a Spurs team, you know, the housery involved in the way that they play, it's because they're a reflection of the manager. And Graham Potter, as a man at the moment, is too nice. And you look at that Chelsea team, and they lack personalities and they lack character. And that's why, I mean, I know it's kind of a different scale because, you know, we're not at the same level, you know, financially, etc. You know, our ambitions aren't the same as Chelsea's. But there's many similarities between the two, for sure.
It's going to be a very polite game in 2 weeks, isn't it?
Indeed. We've managed to squeeze 34 minutes worth of discussion about the Arsenal game, which I didn't think we would get. But Jake, you're going to leave us in a minute and get back to your Diet Coke or whatever you're drinking.
Yes, lads, I'm going to pop off and head back into the bar and watch Newcastle lose this final, which is great. Well done for sorting out the pod. I'll catch you boys next week when I'm back in the UK.
All right, mate. Speak soon.
Goodbye, lads.
See you soon, mate.
See you, mate.
Good stuff. There were a couple of things I did want to talk about the game yesterday that weren't directly related to the game, one of which was related to the intro music, which I will get to in a bit. But Graham, it's been a big couple of weeks for Fox's Pride, I believe. There was it was the football versus homophobia fixture yesterday. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to ask, you know, what Fox's Pride have been up to and what you got up to yesterday.
Yeah, so obviously February is LGBT History Month, and that coincides with the Football versus Homophobia, maybe the other way around. The Football versus Homophobia campaign is marked during February. Homophobia, LGBT phobia, transphobia is still a huge problem in football, whether that's on the terraces, whether you're playing at the grassroots level, whether that exemplified by the fact that within the men's game, not the women's game, but within the men's game, there's so few out professional players. And so Fox's Pride exists to kind of work with Leicester City to kind of combat LGBT phobia around the football, but also to create that a safe space for the LGBTQ fan to kind of take part and be a fan of Leicester City as well. So in the last few weeks, building on the work we've done over the last few years, a couple of weeks ago, we went to go and meet the first team squad at Seagrave, which was great. The whole squad was there, including those that were given the morning off. So I thought that was really nice. And we got the chance to talk to them about the importance of the role that they play in being an ally. You know, it doesn't make you gay to stand up for LGBT people, as we said to them. And actually, the fact that they can, with their profile, whether that's just wearing a supportive shirt on their message and that kind of stuff, anything they can do to show support, we said would be great. So we shared that with them. And then Leicester City have, for the past 3 or 4 years, dedicated a fixture to Football versus Homophobia every February. And they chose the Arsenal one this year, and they just kind of put a little bit of communication around the game. So before the game, we had a stall in the fan store, gave out over 2,000 bits of like badges and pens and little guides as to how you can contact LGBT phobia while you're in the ground and what you can do about it if you hear it. Because the most important thing is that if you hear it, you do something about it. You don't just sit on your seat. So that was great. We got a photo pitch side with the players. Some of us were lucky enough to be able to do that. And then after the game, Leicester City held a reception for us and some of the Gay Gooners, which is the Arsenal LGBTQ fan group. And the whole aim around it is to kind of push the message out there that the LGBTQ fan is welcome at Leicester City. Still got loads to do. There's still a lot of work to do to make sure that that homophobia is eradicated from the game at all levels. But, you know, it's just Leicester City's way in working with us to show that they're committed to improving the experience and making sure people feel safe. So, yeah, very, very positive summary there.
Great summary and great to hear. And would, I guess, one of the things in funny enough, I was having a conversation at work about this a couple of weeks ago, and hearing about what other football clubs do, because it's something that I'm involved in at work. It seems like Leicester are more involved than other clubs. Is that a fair summary, or are more advanced in terms of how they're working with you guys and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, Leicester obviously are really involved. Last year, both Leicester City and Fox's Pride won the Football versus Homophobia Award for what they've done. So Leicester won the Professional Game Award and Fox's Pride won the Fan Group Award, which was great. Leicester do a lot. We've worked really hard to get that. I have to say, the reason that Fox's Pride were formed in the first place was because back in 2014, Leicester City were the only Premier League club that didn't take part in Rainbow Laces.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's the... Okay. So if you know Jim, the support liaison officer at Leicester City, he put up with me having a proper rant on the phone at him, I think, for about 2 hours, because he wasn't... And he pulled
people
me in.
Ranting at him, though, isn't he?
Yeah. But I was very nice about it. But I was also quite annoyed that Leicester weren't doing it. And so he got myself and Gareth, my co-founder, together. And he said, right, if you're that bothered, do something about it. And that's how Fox's Pride started. And that's down to Jim. So we're all very welcome into very great. And he was there last night as well. He sent some very nice messages last night as well, because he's very proud of the fact that we exist and what we do. So that's really nice.
Great stuff. And if people want to get involved, what's the best way of doing this?
So if you want to join Fox's Pride, it's open to allies as well as LGBTQ fans of Leicester City. I think the fan of Leicester City is the kind of the common criteria for membership. You can, if you just go to our social media or our website, there's a link there to join. Just search for Fox's Pride. It's at Fox's Pride on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, or www.foxespride.co.uk. So that's how you can join. And then we do socials around most games. Got a quiz night coming up later this year. You'd be very welcome to enter a team. So we'll just look forward to anything people can do. But really, the best thing people can do to get involved is learn what it means to be an ally, call out homophobic abuse if you hear it, and tell a steward, tell someone else, use the text number that you can do, because until we don't have it at the stadium, we're not going to stop.
Good stuff. The quiz night really piques my interest, mainly because obviously, as you know, we play Who Are You every week, but I feel there could be a really nice Big Strong Leicester Boys Fox's Pride whole round of Who Are Yous, and I'm sure me, Rick and Jordan would come and host if you needed us to. Not that you
You'd be very, very you'd be very welcome.
Short of putting a team in, we could just take over the quiz as we normally do, but that's
that'll make less work for me, so I'm fine with that.
Well, yeah, I'm very happy to host around if you want us to. Great stuff. Really good to hear that, Graham. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for coming on. Jordan, people might be a little bit confused by the intro music, which was It's All Gone Quiet Over There. But I wanted to get your take on yesterday, because I didn't actually realise this when I was at the game. But there was some form of protest. Now, the reason I might not have noticed that there was a protest was that it was a silent protest. The singing section in the corner, all that way over there, wasn't quite as noisy and as colourful as it might have been. So I wondered whether you might be able to give us a bit of context as to that and maybe share some thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I know, I'm down in the singing section now. Not actually a formal member, I guess, of UFS, but my friends, quite a lot of my friends are in the group. So it was a silent protest. Obviously, the flags weren't out either. Like you say, it was a bit less colourful. It was related to do with two of the members received a ban of 3 games and a season, respectively. From my vantage point against Tottenham, it didn't seem like they did an awful lot wrong. And I think the frustration from the group, or how I perceive it anyway, is, you know, they've got a singing section, and it seems to be policed more stewards or more heavily policed than the actual away end, which I just find a bit odd. I mean, you know, when you kind of grant a singing section at the King Power Stadium, I'm pretty sure you kind of know what you're going to sign up for. So that's how I saw it. I mean, in terms of a silent protest, the game was absolutely terrible anyway. So I don't think we would have had a lot to sing about in the first place, to be honest. But that's how I see it. And also, I don't know, you know, obviously the lads in L1, K1, or lads and lasses, I should say, in L1 and K1, I don't know if they can hear us over that side. And I know where you sit, Jack. I don't know if you can hear it. And I think, you know, the group do a lot of good stuff, obviously the food bank, and try and get the atmosphere, or like-minded people in the ground to try and get a bit of atmosphere, because I think it's fair to say, especially this season, last couple of seasons, it's been pretty poor. But there are people dotted about all over the ground. And it'd be nice for me if they just got all the people who want to make a bit of a racket in the same place, because, you know, we know when that ground is rocking, it is pretty loud. You know, we can cause earthquakes when a Joe has scored. So that's how I saw it. I mean, obviously, we need to probably get some of UNFS on. I mean, obviously, Graham works with, you know, Jim, like you say, he's a bit of a sounding board, I think, for most fans. I think he gets he gets put in a very difficult position, I think, and he does a good job. Mm. So it's obviously difficult, you know, working with the club on this one, I think, for UNFS. But, you know, we want the atmosphere to be better in the stadium. I think that's basically all the group really want. So I think the frustration when they're banning their own fans for things that didn't seem seem pretty minor, as far as I was concerned, from what I saw, I think that's where the frustration came from.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. From the bits I know of UNFS, I think what they're doing is brilliant, because our atmosphere is pretty tepid, isn't it? And I think that's being kind. It was brilliant the years of when we won the league, when we stayed up the year before. It took care of itself, but you can't just assume that that's always going to be the case, because the years after that, we've seen it get progressively worse. You know, they are passionate, and, you know, I read so much stuff on Fox's Talk from certain people that just take any opportunity to have a pop at UNFS. Now, they'll then claim it's because UNFS are a little bit secretive themselves and a bit sort of closed and not, you know, don't keep other fans in the loop, even moaning about some of the songs they sing. But, you know, and yes, maybe UNFS, if they try and encourage others to join, but I'm sure they're trying to do that anyway. It sounds to me like, once again, stewards probably being overzealous, as I think one of you just said. And, you know, stewards come up and tell people to sit down. They're standing up themselves, you know. I think they should come up on like a Stenner stairlift or have one of them little fishing stools. At least then, if they're sat down and say, sit down, they'd hold a bit more clout. So you'd be like, yeah, fair enough. They're just ridiculous. But, I think the UNFS boys need a bit of support, because without them, it goes back to no singing, and that's not great.
I think, you know, with UNFS, my kind of only sort of complaint is that with English football, it's not the same as, you know, it's not Fidane at Napoli or the Barra Bravas down at Boca. It's a different culture. You've got a millionaire owner, you know.
Billionaire
owner. Yeah, these, you know, for what they describe themselves as ultras abroad, they pretty much run the club, and there's a lot of dodgy things going on in those groups. So it's kind of self-styled on that. And also English football, I think that there needs to something happen in the game to get the atmosphere going. You know, the Palace Homesdale end is very similar. And the kind of slow European songs suit European football, whereas the Premier League is a lot more high tempo. So I think that's where the atmosphere comes from a lot of the time. But look, they're not, you know, they're not bad guys, and they just want a good atmosphere. They're not causing trouble. They're not, you know, out trying to scrap people and stuff like that. They're just trying to get an atmosphere going. So it is a bit frustrating, to be honest.
I think that's right. I think the thing is, with the way Leicester City work, is that obviously if people get banned, that they don't publicise it and don't say why. And I get why they do that. But obviously, because I know, for example, that there have been people banned for homophobic abuse and things like that. But obviously they never talk about it or share it. So obviously we don't know why those two people were banned. We don't know if it was in the stadium or on the way out. We don't know. That's just sort of my nature to try and be quite balanced. But I think ultimately you're right. Anyone that wants to make the atmosphere better should be applauded and encouraged. I'm not sure a silent protest is the way I'd have gone about it, personally. But I think because that kind of defeats their own aim. I don't necessarily think that, but obviously I don't understand the bigger picture around it. But I know that we don't know the full story around it, do we? Which makes it harder to comment on.
Yeah, and I also don't know whether, like Rick said, whether the communication could be a bit more open. This is why we're doing it, but at the same time, then you kind of don't want to. I guess you can't name the members or why they were banned, what they were banned for. So it is a bit of a difficult one. It's just, you know, you don't want any. If indeed they were banned for what, I mean, I don't know what happened. It just, from where I was, it seemed like nothing huge happened. But obviously, you know, you kind of don't want your own fans getting banned for relatively minor things. So yeah, it's just a really difficult one. Maybe the communication could have been better, but I don't know if it was actually referenced on Match of the Day by Jonathan Pearce, said he's not heard Leicester fans so quiet. So I don't know if that was in relation to that, or it was just we were playing so badly and the atmosphere was terrible. Mm.
It was very quiet, and I think I think we'd all agree we want the stadium nice and noisy. And I think you're right. It's easier when we're playing good football, but I don't know the ins and outs of what's gone on with those that corner, Jordan. You've got much better insight than me, but it's almost like watching your parents fight. I just hope they all sort it out like adults eventually.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you're right about that. I sit just in front of the singing section. I sit in SK1 row K, so I'm kind of just about a few rows in front, you know, and there's definitely some good noise that comes out of it. So I appreciate that. I'm not a very vocal fan, so it's half me. And that doesn't mean I don't support the team, but I'm not very good at being loud and shouty and singing.
I was looking at Jordan there. Rick, you've changed venues and that's very disconcerting. Don't do that again. I was looking at Jordan then because he is quite a noisy fan and does like the sound of his own voice, and so does Rick. I'm not sure I can really say the same for me, but there we go. But anyway, right, thanks for your takes on that. We always run over time, don't we? So next thing on the agenda, before you get attacked by a cat, Rick, should we play a game of Who Are You?
Let's do it.
Who is your daddy?
Yes, let's do it.
What does he do? Who is your daddy and what does he do? Who is your dad?
That's all I've got. I haven't actually got the whole reel. That was as much as I can do. Unfortunately, without Jake here, you've not got as good as presenting and you haven't got the who are you loop. But there we go. Right.
I think some may say it's fortunate we've not got the Who Are You loop after Jake left it on.
I think I've worked out how he's done that as well, because there is a button that says loop and he's obviously faded it out but not turned it off. So it is entirely his fault for doing that. But there we go. Right. It's me this week, mainly because no one else volunteered and I've won the last three or four. I don't know. I've not lost in a while. So I feel like it's my turn. And Graham, you have played before because you told me you got Bruno Burner before this.
Yeah, I was very pleased with that. I got it quite quickly as well. So. Someone else on that team would be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to copy Rick's style of doing this, which was quite authoritarian and didn't really give us any clues. It's not a right winger. I'm going to say he's a defender.
Ricky Schumacher.
No, it's not. He was actually a midfielder, if you remember, for us as well, George. So,
well, that's what I was thinking. So you said, I'm going to say it's a defender. So.
And the I'll give you a little bit more of a cue. I'd probably say he naturally was a right back, but I think I saw him play right back, centre back, and left back. So he was quite a versatile defender for us.
Timmy Castagna.
No, we've not had a player that's playing for us. That would be a real curveball, wouldn't it? Do you want another clue? Do you want another guess? He was born on the 13th of September, 1978.
Oh. he's 44.
44.
Good maths. Same age as me. Good maths. I always enjoy that when you say the year and someone says how old he is, because it shows that we are literate and numerate on this podcast. Any guesses?
Gary Rowett.
No, not the worst shout. Didn't see him play left back for us.
He'll be older than that as well, won't he? A bit older than 44. Yeah.
Gary Rowett's got one of the deepest voices you've ever heard, and you don't expect it. It's really disconcerting. Really? Yeah, he sat behind me at the football before, and he's almost like Sean Dyche in his delivery. It's very disconcerting.
What happened to Gary Rowett? Because he had a few managerial jobs back to back, and then he's just disappeared.
He's at Millwall.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he is with a voice like that.
doing well as well, aren't they, Millwall?
Yeah.
Flying. Horrible team, Millwall. Oh, yeah. Horrible team.
I don't... can you imagine if they come up?
Oh, yeah, brilliant, wasn't it?
I took my wife on a first date to Millwall away. She'd never been to football either. That was 1-0, Steve Howard. What?
At least she knew what she was signing herself up for, Rick. That's all I've got to say on that.
She's never been against him.
Right. Although I took my wife to West Ham away early on. She had a Bovril for the first time. Bearing in mind she's from Australia. Loved it. So there we go. Although she doesn't like going to the football anymore. Right. Finished his career at Rochester Rhinos, interestingly enough.
Which is
Jamie Vardy's team.
Oh,
yeah.
But they've now been reconceived as like the Rochester something, somebody or other.
For a minute, I thought he'd finished his career in rugby league.
Rugby league, you say?
In a fine running again. Andy Hayes. Oh, what about that? Send him off.
Enough of that. Right, okay. I'm not giving you many clues here. I'm getting nothing.
He
played for us. Cool. Right, okay, I'm going to give you a few more clues, right? He played for us in 2005 to 2008, initially joining us on loan played 10 games on loan for us. Then he joined
Darren
us permanently.
Kenton. I was about to say
it. Oh, Rick.
That's it. Is that it?
Got it.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Very good.
Oh, that's annoying. I was about to say him.
That is very... I think Rick's still undefeated on this.
Pretty much.
That is
excellent work. Excellent work. Well done, Rick. Excellent. Thank you are still much. Undefeated.
Means a lot.
Very, very impressive. Right. And we're going to have an on-air production meeting. But we've got some questions, and there are some good questions, and I think we should ask them, and then we'll do a bit Blackburn.
Let's do it.
And then we'll call it a day. Right. Okay. So, first question. I think this is from you, Rick. There's a bit of a thread on this. Subsequently, after the podcast last week, which, by the way, my dad phoned me and listened to and said, Ric Flair is genuinely hilarious. The egging story is one of the best stories he's ever heard. We've got a question from Matty Williamson saying, when egging, do you prefer free-range eggs or normal?
Is that a question to me?
It is a question to you. I know Jordan has been involved in egging previously, so... I don't know. Sorry, Graham, I wouldn't like to cast aspersions on your character, but I don't know whether you've been involved in egging at all.
Only with an ostrich egg, but fine.
That'd hurt. That would. the thing is, I've got to tread carefully here because the temptation would be to go with a caged hen egg because you get more bang for your buck, but it's obviously very, very cruel. But I did joke. I did joke in our WhatsApp group in the week, and it isn't a joke. One year, we thought it'd be funny to get Scotch egging. So we bought like the cricket ball-sized Scotch eggs, and we were launching them about, which was quite a lot of fun because there was obviously bits of sausage meat just splattered about, which stumped a few people when they were wondering why they just had a the sausage meat smeared up their window. But, you know, you just got to mix it up a bit, haven't you? It's a rites of passage egging. And it's a real shame that I don't think it happens as much anymore. But no, I suppose I'd go with a free-ranged egg. But yeah, you might get, you're more likely to get a double yolker with a free-ranged egg, aren't you? And, you know, that'd be unbelievable. Get one of them around the back of your head.
You've had no one step forward since last week saying it was them that egged you in Parsons Green.
Yeah. I've not heard anything, but, you know, that would be something, wouldn't it?
It really would be. If we can go back to whenever it was, 2014, Parsons Green, who was egging.
Valentine's Day.
Have you ever heard there's that someone wrote on the Fulham Facebook page when someone threw a pie at them after they bought their new shirt and said it wasn't very Fulhamish behaviour. probably the same bloke who threw the egg, I imagine, in those
notes. Was it cottage pie thing at Fulham?
Very good.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. Good stuff. There's a bit of a theme on the questions, and of course we've lost a couple of games, so his future's coming up. But there's a question about Potter being a candidate to replace him when he inevitably gets sacked. Jordan shaking his head, Graham shaking his head. Rick, I know you part of the reason we got you on was to offer some balance from the Rogers Inn Club. I know you won't appoint Graham Potter, but. Do you know what? I'll kick off this one because I've stood by Rodgers all season. Mostly, I had a few wobbles, and I think the club have made the right decision to stand by him. But what I would say is, I think it's a big month this month for him, and I think he's got nothing to moan about anymore because he's been given his shiny new toys. He didn't get Jack Harrison, but as Rick knows, I don't think that's a huge shame, but I think he's not got too many excuses. And I was quite impressed. Rodgers has has an amazing power to piss off the entire fan base by one post match comment, doesn't he? He says the slightest of things and everyone goes apeshit over it. But actually, I thought he was very balanced yesterday. He said we weren't good enough, and said we're not at that level. And you know, I think he got it wrong yesterday in terms of his tactics, but. He's struggling to find the right balance, but what I think it's a long way of saying I think the next few games will be quite telling for him, and you know, I think most people have stuck by him bar a few. I think probably, you know, it's ebbed and flowed a little bit, but it's a big month for him. Rick, I'll start with you. What's your thoughts on that?
On Rodgers, yeah, I mean, I've flip-flopped on Rodgers. I've probably been more Rodgers out in the last year than I have Rodgers in. But I think you, Jordan, and Jake, to a certain extent, do make some compelling arguments for why we should have stuck with him and have done. And I can stomach that. You know, there's a lot that Brendan Rodgers does and still does that I do respect. You know, there's no other manager in the modern era at this level that has enabled us to go out and score four or more goals in a game. You know, we must be 20, 30 times now in 4 years across Premier League, Europe and some of the domestic cups. Yeah, I bet it's in excess of 30 times, which, you know, you can't deny that's then boring football. There is then when we toil with the laborious, slow football. But, you know, he doesn't want to play that. You know, I've at times labelled that that's his way of trying to control a game, but surely not. I think with Rodgers, I do think it's the beginning of the end for him and has been, because it's just the way of the world now. Modern managers don't stay at clubs for more than 4 years. Jurgen Klopp's struggling now because, yes, you go and replace players and that's what you need to do, but there's an air of those that still stay switch off to what they're being told. And Brendan Rodgers will be a deeply irritating man to listen to for four or more years. He just will. He will. He's moved on. He's better than he was when he was at Liverpool, because you watched that documentary and on it, some of the stuff he said was beggar's belief. And I don't think he's like that anymore. I think he is more calm and considered and chilled out. Don't come out with the sound bites. But I suspect if you work for someone for that amount of time, it's the marginal gains in elite professional football, and I do think that's possibly what the difference is. That said, the players have never really switched off in the sense that they've thrown him under the bus, like they perhaps did with Ranieri and some of the other managers. They do seem to still support him. So in that regard, I can get on board with him being still the manager to go with us. But he's got to back it up. He didn't get back last summer, and you know, you can't keep him and not back him. They kept him. They've now backed him within reason. We've got to ace the next couple of transfer windows. If he stays, he's got to deliver. You know, that's got to be minimum top 10 each season, I think. But the next month, as Jack says, is crucial, because we are still hovering around there. It's tight. Jordan is unwavering in his, you know, in his belief we won't get embroiled and be at risk. And I admire that. And I hope you're right. And you probably are right. But I just do worry as well. None of us will have ever thought that we would have capitulated for top four in 1920 and 2021, and we did both times. So saying we won't go down, we won't, I hope. But if there's one thing that I've learned is under Brendan Rodgers, down the stretch in high pressure periods, I don't gamble anymore, thankfully, but I certainly wouldn't be putting any money on it.
What about you, Graham? Where are you standing?
Well, I'm backing Brendan. I thought that, someone mentioned the John Percy article earlier. I can't remember who, but I thought reading about the kind of the plans for summer and Roger's still very much being part of those plans, and how now with a new head of recruitment, there's a way that kind of might move forward, and that. So I think if we stay up, I suspect he will be staying. Based on that article, because John Percy normally gets the vibes right about Leicester, doesn't he? So I suspect he'll still be with us. I do rate Brendan Rodgers. You know, he's given us some great memories. And actually, the whole point, without wishing to sound like kind of holier than thou, is you back a team through the thick and the thin. And I think sometimes, again, maybe we scapegoat Danny Ward, maybe we scapegoat Brendan Rodgers. Like you say, he's got his toys now. He's got the signings he wanted. He hasn't got the excuses. He hasn't made them the last couple of games. I'm looking forward to that 3-hour drive back from Southampton on Saturday. So it all has to start. It has to start on Saturday. We have to get through the quarterfinal on Tuesday. But if you look at our home games between now and the end of the season, you'd have to say there's a lot of winnable games there. And I think Tete will play better against... Sorry, I'm going off the point. But I think Tete will play better against teams that are trying to defend and sit back, which obviously wasn't the case with Arsenal or Spurs as much, or Man United. And we've ticked off a lot of the big six already. So, I do think we'll stay up. I think Brendan will stay. And hopefully once we've sort of the squad out a bit in the summer, and there'll be some sensible recruitment, and next year we're back to what we'd like to see.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Graham. Obviously, I am probably going to come on and defend Brendan, but to be honest, I'm just so bored of Rodgers in or Rodgers out. He's not going anywhere. Certainly not going anywhere this season. There was a time where after Tottenham, where I wobbled a little bit. There was a time where I thought he might walk away in the summer because of the stick that he was getting. But, you know, the only way I think we'll be in a relegation battle is if Maddison and his knee injury keeps him out for more games than he plays towards the end of the season, which I don't think will happen. We're 3 points above the bottom three, but, you know, looking at some of those
sides... The goal difference.
Yeah, exactly what I was about to say. And look at some of those sides... we've scored twice as many as most of them. Forest and Palace are 3 points above us. They're both garbage. We're better than both of those sides. Bizarrely, Villa are on the same points as Chelsea. But I think, you know, this season hasn't been great, but it's been a hugely transitional season. And, you know, that John Percy article did mention about Kasper not being a unanimously popular captain in the dressing room. Now, that's something that was a surprise to me, but Rodgers has had to deal with a very difficult player, quite clearly, and decided to move him on. Soyuncu, who was excellent for a time. You know, Rick mentioned the collapse in the Champions League. Well, he almost single-handedly cost us the game at Bournemouth, and arguably Champions League that season. So he's trying to move him on. Pratt is always injured and he's out of contract. So he'll move on. And he's got the three players in this window, but, you know, we are going to have to get in probably six or seven in the summer. And I think Brendan's certainly the man to do that. The recruitment at the club by and large is pretty good, but he is still a good name to work for. And hopefully he gets the rebuild he wants in the summer. And then we push back on into the top 10, top eight and European football. Because, yeah, like you say, Graham, he seems like he's still got the stomach for the fight and he's still up for it and he wants to rebuild the team. And you know, a lot of the players that we do have come or had been at the club for quite a long time before Rodgers was here. So he can kind of put his own stamp on it. So, yeah, it does just bore me, this Rodgers in or out. Would you take Potter?
No.
Can we, you know, sorry. Can we? Yeah, you know, I wouldn't.
If Rick was still with us, he would also be saying no, because he does not rate Graham Potter. I don't quite know where he's gone, but maybe because we talked about him, he's left in disgust.
But can we just, yes, I mean, can we just bury all this speculation about the manager and just get on with it? He's not going anywhere, certainly not to
be lovely, season, wouldn't it? But as soon as we lose a game, it's like the questions start again and we have to raise it again. And I'm with you, I find it really boring.
It's as soon as we lose 1-0 to the team that's top of the league. It's like, that's fine. If we lose 5-0 to Southampton on Saturday, maybe, I get it. Yeah. We're not going to do that. But we've lost 1-0 to Arsenal. It's not, and you know, we lost 3-0 to Man United in a game with a ref, and we played really well for 45 minutes. It's like, it just, it does my head in. Can't deal with it.
Although I have just Googled Gary Rowett, who's been at Millwall for 4 years, so it shows how much attention I pay to the Championship these days. But, you know, get Gary Rowett in, if not.
Get Big Nige back.
Did you see Big Nige dancing yesterday?
Yeah.
Everyone saw that. It's gone down well.
Yeah.
I saw Matty James in an interview the other day, and I was like, I can't believe he's still playing football. Because he was so injury prone, but apparently he's been class for them. So
he's their captain, isn't he?
Is he?
He was captain yesterday. I love Nigel Pearson. He's my favourite of a Leicester manager.
We have tried several times to get him on the podcast, but he's not biting. Sadly, he's got better things to be doing. But we will get him on one day. Good stuff. Rick's Wi-Fi has gone, so he may or may not be with us. But the final thing we were going to talk about was Blackburn, a small matter of that. It's the fifth round on Tuesday, isn't it? It's the one before the quarterfinals, which is a big game. Thoughts ahead of that? Team selection, score prediction? Go on, Graham. You go first.
Okay, so team selection needs to be as strong as possible. I watched the Blackburn QPR highlights this morning because I was just curious. Blackburn can attack, so we need to be kind of strong defensively. They also look pretty robust at the back, if I'm honest, although they were playing QPR in a shocking run. I don't think it'll be straightforward. So I think the team selection needs to be as strong as possible. But if we can't beat a Championship team at home, I think, you know, there's a problem. Maybe I'll put Rodgers out at the end of it. And then that's a joke. I definitely won't be. And then I guess, in the weekend, just more of the same. We've just got to go all out on the next two games. I think as hard as we can. And I think we'll get through the quarterfinal.
Yeah. I mean, again, at the risk of agreeing with Graham, like I always agree.
Sorry.
With Graham. No, absolutely agree. Like, we've got to go full strength. I just did a shameless Google of Blackburn. I knew they were doing well. It looks like they've not lost for 8 or 9 either. So, yeah, it'll be a tough game. But look,
but they only win or lose, don't they?
Yeah, they've lost 13.
They don't draw.
They won 17, lost 13, and they're fourth.
I have a feeling they're missing a couple of players. So I don't think they've got a striker at the moment. Or whoever, Brereton Diaz, formerly known as Ben Brereton, that came from Forest, that's now Chilean, is injured, I believe, and so is Bradley Dack. him of he used to go out with someone from The Only Way Is Essex or something, I think. And
I think they're still
together, still going out. Yeah, he looks like he's on The Only Way. Apparently he's quite a good player. Yeah. So I don't think either of them will be playing, which should help us. Not that I'm that fussed about them. Do you know what? I wouldn't go as strong as possible because did anyone see Yuri's ankle on Saturday? I do wonder whether Yuri might have played his last game for the club after seeing that, because that looked horrible.
Really?
We saw him kind of leaving the stadium on crutches from where we were after the game. And he had a boot on.
Yeah, which I've actually got like fairly good insight into ankle injuries, because between the ages of about 18 and 22, I did my ankles about 7 times or something and ended up in hospital with all of them. So they will put a boot on him immediately, but if it's a bad sprain, that's worse than a break, and that could be 4, 5, 6 months potentially. So we'll see how he is on that, but that looked sickening.
So more good injury news.
Well, yeah, and we do tend to pick them up in clusters. So Castagne, I'd love to see Ricardo play. Christian, I can't even say his name. You know what I mean, Victor. I would play him. Suter is another one. He's obviously come back from quite a major injury recently, so we need to be careful with him. But I do worry about Barnes getting an injury, because he has played every week this season. But I'd definitely play Tete. I'd definitely play Iheanacho. Madison obviously didn't play on Saturday, so should be nice and fresh. I'm surprised Madison. I'm shamelessly going to steal this from LTFC shit posting, but Newcastle are 2-0 down. They've not brought Madison on, which is unbelievable in the league. which is a real shame to see them suffering despite invading London as they did. Lovely bunch of them. I'd probably make a few changes. I think he will probably go as strong as possible because he knows how important it is. And it hopefully should get us in a decent bit of form before the Southampton game. As we said, it's a big game. So I'm hopeful. I think, you know, Rodgers has been seemingly gets no credit whatsoever for being quite good at getting through banana skin games in cups. Gets no credit for that from anyone, because he just should do that. That's his job. Whereas, you know, Unai Emery and Forrest and everyone else get knocked out. So hopefully we get through. And then we're one game away from Wembley, which would be fantastic. So there we go. Any final thoughts? I'll leave this section to any other business before we go. Or are we all done? Jord, have you got anything else? Any shout-outs you want to do?
I have no other business today.
Which is rare from you, because this is normally your section. Graham, thank you very, very much for joining us. Great to have you on. Great to hear about Fox's Pride and the work they do. Keep up the good work. And thanks for sharing how we can all get involved. Jord's got some any other business.
I do have one other business. Well done to Jack Holmes today, who was our stand-in presenter without Jake Watson. I had a little joke, which is not very good, but we didn't have a Watson, but we did have a Holmes.
The duo
will be back next week. But yeah, very well done, Jack, in your first ever presenting role.
Thanks, mate. I'm not sure I'll volunteer to do it again. What I will volunteer to do, I'll host it. Jake's definitely do it, because I think Jake could do more with the sound effects as we go through. That's going to be something I'm really going to carve out as my niche. But considering it is his profession, Jake is pretty good at presenting. So I'll be pleased to have him back next week. So there we go. Good stuff. Should we leave it there?
Hopefully see you in round 6 of the FA Cup.
Nice one. See you soon, boys.
Thank you. Podcast Network.